Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. Well, this guest that you're about to hear again was someone that we desperately wanted on and planned to have on for months.
Sorry, can I just cut in?
What?
If I'm going to pass on the baton to give you the chance to do the introduction, at least bloody introduce yourself and me, thank you.
Oh, do you really need any introduction, darling?
Well, I don't, but please indulge me.
Right. Hi, and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Lenny, and I'm here with my fabulous daughter, who has just been nominated for her second Mercury Prize, of course, for the fantastic That Feels Good album.
I really appreciate that introduction, Mum. I think you went a little bit too far, so I feel like maybe rein in the pushy Jewish mother if you're going to do it for the next episode.
Okay.
What is it? Is it Table Manners or is it Table Manners Second Helpings, Mum? Come on.
This is a second helping of the most fabulous guest, someone we longed for and planned for months. And it involved your brother as well, doing most of the cooking. It is the goddess that is Nigella Lawson.
Yes, Nigella Lawson came on back in season 4. It was at Lenny's. And we were so excited to have Nigella. She was on our wish list since the beginning. Mum was so nervous about cooking that she...
That I didn't cook. Well, I did. Alex did the prep and I did the cooking.
Alex was sous chef.
Yeah.
And you were head chef.
I was head chef.
Alex made 2 custard and blackberry tarts.
Yep. You ate one of them.
I ate one of them before just to check that the one that didn't look so good, it was quite delicious. And Mum created the menu of, it was pistachio crust rack of lamb.
Yes.
It was really
with
good.
With cocoa beans.
Oh, yeah.
And rainbow chard.
So... this is Nigella Lawson talking about her favourite places, Greece, Greek food, her mum's chicken soup recipe, midnight snacks, and being a fussy eater as a child. Go and enjoy it. This is Nigella Lawson on Table Manners, Second Helpings. We have... Oh, are you sick of being called a goddess? Or does it ever get... Does it get boring?
It sometimes gets boring, but I feel, you know, fraudulent because I so... Not.
Oh, shush.
I am so not a goddess.
You absolutely are. We have the goddess that is Nigella Lawson at my mum's house. Thank you so much for being on Table
Manners. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for coming.
Now, so, okay, you kindly brought a candle.
Yes.
So Alex, because my mum, basically, we were like searing the lamb. We're having lamb tonight. And we were searing the lamb before. Mum's like, it smells like a bloody kebab house.
Nothing wrong in that.
Nothing wrong. But then mum's like going to light a candle. And Alex said, no, you can't do that. You can't
have
that.
A scented candle if you're going to eat food.
No, I think that's right.
Okay,
not
fine.
In the kitchen.
He knew.
So we've not
around food. But yeah. I think you could, if you wanted one, say over there. But I think not around food because you just want to smell the food.
You're right. So I'm quite happy that
but
we're
I've got
kebab
an
shop.
Open I've got an open but it doesn't smell like a kebab shop, but I've got an open plan, sort of one big room. So I do have scented candles in there, but they tend not to, you know what I mean, they don't waft far enough to where I'm going to eat.
What have you been doing today?
Well, I got back from Greece last night and I have been doing all the things that pile up. I mean, I wasn't away that long, so like 1 week, but all the things that pile up, and I've managed some writing.
It's funny that you brought up Greece because we go to Greece every year.
Yeah.
And Mum was saying about how huge you are in Greece.
You are massive.
Were you there just on holiday?
Well, sort of. I went to a wedding first, and then I've got a friend who comes from Mykonos.
Oh, nice. Were you in Mykonos?
So I was in Mykonos too, but I wasn't doing any of the things that people do in Mykonos because I was just sitting, you know, on his veranda, speaking to his sisters, doing things, meeting his friends there. And they kept making plans to go out, and I just said, oh, I just can't.
What, just didn't fancy it?
I felt like, I don't know, I'm not really someone who wants to go dancing before in the morning.
Yeah.
Although I did do a lot of that for the wedding.
Did you eat good food there? Because I hear the Mykonos food's really good. They're fancy schmants.
Well, I did eat good food, but also because I was, you know, you eat the best food in people's houses. And so I ate at people's houses because I was with...
chefs?
You know, great... when I was in Mykonos, you know, this friend of mine is a very good cook and he lives in Mykonos. He's in London mostly, but, you know, goes back to Mykonos. And his friends are good cooks, and so it was us, you know, really great.
Nice. And you can buy lovely tomato. Everything tastes delicious.
The cucumbers taste of cucumbers.
The cucumber and the melons smell.
I had the most incredible capers that had been slightly fermented.
Ooh.
They'd just been put fresh in a plastic bottle with lots of salt until all the liquid, the salt and the capers all turn into liquid. And there's ferment. Oh, so good.
Do you think you'd be able to make them here, or would they just
We can't get fresh capers here.
Right, okay.
But there, they can pick them. I mean, it was, I think...
But Chrysoula's always got jars with things in the bottom, fruits or vegetables, with some sort of liquid on the top.
Well, you can do
in
that.
In the sun.
Yes,
yeah.
You can do that here, but, you know, you have to get the ingredients. Mm. But, you know, the Greeks are so wonderful and hospitable. You only have to talk to them. They start slicing a sausage, putting a bit of cheese on the table, unwrapping a little something. It's so nice.
I didn't realise you were Jewish. So, and Mum's like, of course she is. But it's that similar thing, isn't
yes,
it?
It's
kind of like, is there a problem? Here's some chicken soup. Is there a problem? Have some food.
No, quite. But also that just putting things in front of you all the time, you know, and... lots of, you know, watching to make sure you are eating. Not as much as my great aunt.
Who is Jewish in your family?
Well, all my family are, but we are not religious.
But you're still, claim, like, you know, the Jews will still happily, proudly talk about you and JC and
of course.
And claim you.
And you eat chicken soup, of course.
I do, certainly.
We talk about... Have you got any particular ingredient that you put in your chicken soup, or is it just like no nonsense?
Well, no, because I do change it a bit, and I don't really... I do make chicken soup, but it isn't really quite chicken soup, because I do it more as... Because, the way my mother did it, I call it my mother's praised chicken, because I always say it's part braised and part poached, and it's an act of devotion for us. My mother died very young. And so really what it is that it's a whole chicken cooked in a pot with carrots and leeks and, you know, lemon and whatever you want, and a lot of water. Mm. And so what you do afterwards is that you make a chicken. So you've got a chicken soup, but you've got whole bits of
and
meat.
And do you put bits of chicken in?
Yes.
So you don't have a boiling hen?
Well,
otherwise you can't eat that.
No,
it's
I don't
horrible.
Have a boiling hen. I do have a good chicken.
Good chicken.
But if I want to make just chicken soup, I use wings, not...
Yeah.
Because wings are the best. They flavour a lot. I buy a lot of wings.
Oh, so I could... Because I Mum goes to the effort of getting the boiling hen, she'll go to Stamford Hill.
I did the other day.
That was good chicken
soup,
too.
That was not bad.
But will you bother with the matzo balls or lokshen?
Well, I don't, because I'm not used to it. Although, I have to say, when my son was little, he really did, because my mother-in-law used to make, you know, proper matzo balls and that sort of thing. And all those things. As they said, lots of things ending in luch.
Luch.
But I do like all that kind of food. When I'm in New York, I'll go somewhere that has proper... Chicken soup,
where's your favourite... I know this is a bit of an annoying question, but your favourite country to eat in?
Well, I don't know, because I'm so fond of, you know, Italy. I could eat Italian food all the time.
Okay.
And I lived there when I was young. So
where did you live?
For me, mostly in Florence. I was a chambermaid. It was in between school and university.
God, you wouldn't mind having Nigella as your chambermaid, would you?
And I moved around a bit too. I went south a bit as well. But if I'm in Italy for any length of time and I really love it, I just come back really longing for some Thai food or a curry because I love
curry. Yeah.
You know, so I do miss heat. I think, you know, England, London, which is really where I'm from, London, is a fantastic place to eat in because you can get, there's everyone.
Everything.
And you get everything. And it's, from really little places. I don't mean the fancy places. Mm. I'm not mad keen on that. So London's a good place to eat.
So where are your favourite restaurants?
Oh, well, it's, my favourite restaurants have a lot to do, I think, with habit and that. So I love the River Cafe because I've been, went there when my kids were little, Sunday lunch and there. So it's where I would go for a special occasion.
Yeah.
If it's, someone in the family's or one of my children's birthdays, I will go there and it's lovely, especially in summer when you can sit outside. So I love that.
When Hannah graduated, we went there, didn't we?
Yeah, and we had those lovely Bellinis with their
pink
peaches that they'd grown outside.
So,
so
nice. It's just a good, you're going to get a good meal.
But also, I know some of the people who work, front of house, they've been there since I've been going there. I've been going there since the beginning.
Must be a great place to work.
So I remember I went there 30 years ago, maybe 31 years ago.
Yeah, I think I did.
Or something. And they've been working there. So you feel that great sense of continuity, and I like that. Mm. I mean, I do sometimes like going to a new place, but...
My new favourite place is Spring.
Yeah, that's...
I love it.
The food's... The skies are...
And it's such a pretty place to eat.
I don't really like going to restaurants a lot. I do more when I'm abroad.
Is it because you get recognised and it just feels like...
A bit.
It just makes it unpleasant because it kind of you feel like people are watching how you're eating.
Sometimes, not that I mind that, but a bit. But it's a bit that. Mm. But I also... I think sometimes it's a bit that I do cook quite a lot at home and I eat quite a lot at home. So when I go out, I tend to want something plainer. Whereas when I'm...
I see.
So when I'm away... I'm not eating that much, so then I like quite plain things. Rovi's quite good. Have you been to Yotam's
new
place?
I'm taking her for her birthday because I'm taking her for her birthday.
Okay, you've got to have the celeriac shawarma.
Yeah.
And the lobster crumpets with sesame.
We're going there for your birthday.
Oh my God, it's so good.
But when you say, you enjoy cooking at home, do you ever feel like it becomes like work? Because
us
doing this podcast, I know your pleasure's gone from doing, not that you ever enjoy cooking in the first place, and then I made you do this fucking podcast.
Yeah, it's really odd. I think it's more pressure. Because we want to make it kind of special.
But I think cooking for people you don't know is terrifying. Yeah. So if you're just talking about cooking for friends or a family or myself, well, that's fine. But if I feel there are people that I don't know or I don't feel at ease in front of, I always think people are going to get so disappointed because they expect it to be really fancy and it is really, roast chicken.
But that's what I've always liked about your programme. It was always about, occasion, but it was just friends. It wasn't supposed to be something over fancy.
So that's
supposed to be communal eating.
But we all sometimes feel, exhausted. There are times when I feel I am just too exhausted to cook. However, once I'm actually pottering about in the kitchen, stirring something, I decompress and I feel better. But I think that there are certain moods when it does all feel like too much. But actually, it's like so many things, the thought of it looms so much and you have such dread.
Yeah,
but then when
I
you
agree.
Do it, I like it. But I think that whenever it is too much, it's because I've decided to do too much. And that's why I nearly always write my list and then read it again and then cross half the things out because I've thought, I'm going to do too much.
You can manage with less. Yeah.
You don't need all that much. I mean, I think that there's a slight... I find it slightly difficult sometimes if I'm cooking and I have to remember what I'm doing when and then people sort of, how they want to talk to you and they suddenly lounge in front of the stove and you're trying to get something or I forget.
Yeah.
But I think mostly it doesn't really matter and it's as long as you kind of keep your... Calm. It's that's more important than whether things work or not. I mean, I am, I do tend to be one of those people that says, oh, that should be more like this or that that's overcooked, yeah, or that's undercooked, but I will only allow myself to do it once because I think otherwise it becomes a burden,
a bit boring,
on, a burden,
yeah,
on other,
yeah,
people.
And they keep on, yeah, saying,
what are they meant to say?
You,
yeah, you know, so that's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But I also feel that the clearing up, on the other hand, sometimes that, you know, and sometimes I just think, oh God, I can't face that.
Does that make you decide, like, have you ever been like, you know what, I'd love to do that, but that is going to require so much clearing up, I can't be arsed, I'm going to do a one potter.
Well, I never do fancy things anyway, but it is just more that sometimes it's about this, which is that I've got some plates I really like, but they just don't fit in the dishwasher.
And you can't be asked to walk,
and it's just that thing of there are lots of people, but actually again when you do it, but I'm one of those people, see, I don't mind washing, I can't stand the putting away again.
I get that,
but I have to say though, but I don't particularly want people to help me clear up because I need to do it in my own time,
right,
and
yeah,
my,
yeah,
own,
yeah,
pottering,
and just leave it
and do, yeah, it, but I, you know, I don't, cooking as performance art has never interested me,
right. So it's just got to taste, try and taste as good as possible.
It does, but also just, it's just making people feel welcome. But also, one of the things that's quite good about being in Greece is you realise they don't make a distinction between whether something is made or bought. You know, if it's a lovely bit of cheese. For example, I'm going to a talk,
yeah,
on Thursday and with a friend, and obviously I can't really cook. I mean, I cook at some day before, and I'm in the studio all week. So I just said to her afterwards, oh, well, you know, let's come back and have smoked salmon at mine after. And that is really nice. So I think the thing is, it's nice, it's wonderful to eat with people and share food with people. And I don't think you have to fetishize whether it's, I don't feel I have to start, you know, chiseling, you know, radishes into chrysanthemums to go with it. You know, I might make a salad as well, and I might then feel a bit inspired to put different things in it at the same time.
Yeah.
But actually, I just want to know there's food there that we're not going to have too late at night.
And, yes,
you know, because I'm going to be up early the next morning,
oh,
so I don't want to make a big deal of it.
But do you, I mean, have there been any kind of brilliant mistakes you've made in when you've been kind of, because, you know, you've got, you're a chef, you know.
Well, I'm not, though. That's the, no, but that's a really, really big distinction.
Yeah, really?
It's a really big distinction.
But how can you not,
because she's not,
because I've
classical
never,
training.
I have, no, but I've never cooked for, in the in public.
Like having a restaurant,
you've
never had a restaurant.
But even like when I do demos, I think, oh my God, please, do I have to do a demo?
Really?
Because, I mean, I don't, you've seen me on TV, I don't cut properly. You don't need to.
But
to
I think that's the charm.
Good. Yeah, but that's not, you know, I'm not a chef, I'm not trained, and I speak to Yotam about it, I don't think it.
He's not a chef. Either.
He's trained as a pastry chef,
is
I think.
He?
Mm.
But okay, would you call yourself a cook?
Yes, but I'm. I call myself a home cook.
Okay.
God, you know, I wouldn't call you a home cook.
Yeah, but
a home cook makes it, you
but,
sound
but, no, but that's, no, but that's
like
only,
us.
No, but that's only because home cooks
we're
always,
not,
you know, talk themselves down. I think of myself predominantly as a food writer, to be honest, because it was writing about food that made me.
Yeah, I wondered how language. You learned to cook.
Because I learnt from such a young age because my mother believed in child labour. And because, you know, in the olden days, that people didn't worry about, you know, child safety. You know, so we had a very rickety sort of, or we had an old, it was called something like New World Gas Range.
Oh, yeah, New World.
And, you know, she'd put a rickety chair, and me and my sister, we'd be standing on the chair stirring things. And just getting things on. So we weren't doing it as amusement. You know, now, you know.
So you were helping her.
We were, yes, we had to help and do things properly. So for me, the big challenge when I wrote my first book was learning how to weigh and measure.
Mm.
Because certain things I did weigh and measure for, but things like making a white sauce, you know, bechamel, I had no idea how to do it except by sight and feel. And then I had to, I think it's called reverse engineer. And I do that quite a lot. A lot of my recipes come because I just cook something and then I have to work out what I did.
It's so tedious, that part, isn't it? Because
it doesn't come naturally
no.
to me, but I've got a slightly obsessive streak which comes in handy.
What did you do at university?
Medieval maths. And modern languages.
No.
Oh, no. No, maths not my strong point. I did
medieval.
Manage to pass an O-level, but not... That's it.
Medieval
so,
and modern
bloody
languages.
Hell.
So what languages do you speak?
Oh, God, hardly any now. French... German and English.
Oh, piss off, Nigella.
No, I don't mean French, German and English. I mean French, German and Italian. But I actually don't think I would be able to remember any German now, although I did rather
That's
love
okay.
it.
Really?
And which medieval language?
Well, all of them, go, you know, going
oh,
back.
So
but mostly, you know, but mostly Italian and, you know, going from sort of medieval Latin and also Provençal with the with the French people. But I mean, you just read it. You're not having to talk anything.
How exciting.
I like reading. I'm a reader. So I was going to do English, but then I thought, well, I'll do languages because...
What was the last book you read that you loved?
I am reading at the moment a book that I am rather transfixed by called, I think it's called The Overstory. And it's about trees. People and their connection to trees, and it's...
Isn't it on the Booker?
It is, shortlist,
yes. Yeah. Is she Australian? She's not the one that's terribly young.
No, I think it's written by a man.
I
can't remember his name, and I should, because I read it on the iPad. You don't have the book in front of you.
Oh, God, really? I can't do it. It hurts my eyes doing the iPad.
Well, I read with sniper's lenses at night, so I've got lenses which are yellow, which block out the blue light.
Ah.
It's only because when I go away, how many books can you take? And also, I'm a very bad sleeper, so if I read with a book with a light on, it's going to keep me awake longer than reading with my iPad and my sniper's glasses. So
that's where you read, in bed.
Or anywhere.
But oh, yes, you read a lot.
But mostly, I do. Mostly.
How many books a month would you read?
Well, it's difficult to say because it depends what I'm doing, you know, because if I'm out a lot.
Okay, if you were really busy.
I would probably read one or two books a week.
Oh, my God.
No, but I don't do other things.
I'm a disgrace.
No, it's not about good or bad. Well, I do sometimes. I mean, I do sometimes, but it's not about...
So it's like you're reading...
I don't watch TV a lot, you see.
But there's so much good TV sometimes. At the
moment. I know there is, and I do watch some, but I do feel I need a certain amount of quiet so that I can only do noise for so long.
I need to learn to
But you see, my idea of, you know, a really great evening is going to bed very early. No wonder I don't see, because they always say you mustn't go to bed really early and just read for hours.
Why?
And if I'm not doing anything at the weekend, I get up, have tea out there, I might do some, you know, yoga class or something like that, and then I go back to bed with a book and lots of it, and that's what I do in the daytime.
See, you're a bit of an insomniac, or you're a bad sleeper.
Well, I am an insomniac, but I try and live with it, and I try and do things about it.
I mean, I'm kind of with you on the thing of going to bed. I love early dinner.
But they always say...
I'm not an insomniac.
Jessie could sleep standing
up.
No,
but you see, they always say... And every time I've seen anyone about my bad sleep, they always say, you must go to bed much later and you mustn't lie down and read in bed.
Why?
Because you're meant to just go there for sleep and give yourself a shorter window. But if I go to bed late, I worry, because I wake up early, I worry about how little sleep I'm going to get. Oh. But I think this is a function of having children. I think you never lose that thing of working out backwards how much sleep. Yeah. You know, when you stay out longer than you mean, you always try and count how many hours sleep. If I actually get to sleep when I get home, how many hours sleep maximum am I going to get? And you never quite recover from
and
that.
And then you stress out about it so much, I know.
And I always get worried about, I'm going to be tired when I do that, and I'm not going to get enough sleep, which is a really mad way of thinking about it. But I think it leaves a scar.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
I mean,
because my brother really is a big fan, and that's kind of why he had to leave the room. but he wanted to know, you know, because you talk about going down for like a midnight feed. Like you've
well, I do
that
in TV more than I do. I mean, I try
is
not
to. Is
that
an actual thing?
Well, I try not to. I only really do that if I've been drinking at all, because I'm not very good at alcohol. So
do you not drink?
Yeah, I do, but not very often. I mean, I did, you know, quite a lot in Greece, I have to say. But what I mean is that so if I come back from having if I have two glasses of wine,
you're good to go with snacks.
No, but you know, it makes my blood sugar go up, and then I need to have lots of food afterwards. So I often will go out for dinner, and if I have wine, I have to eat something when I get back.
So when you go out for dinner, do you drink wine then?
I do sometimes. I try and drink
wine
with people.
But not always?
Not always. Sometimes I just can't face it.
Have you never liked it very much?
Yes, but I've never been a big drinker.
Okay. It's like you, really.
But I do like it, but I'm a bit... I mean, I do try to, because I think sometimes if you don't drink, it's like after the first hour of a party, you're in a different room than everyone else, and that can be quite difficult. I mean, I feel that I'm quite an anxious person, and drink can really exacerbate that anxiety. So I
or the other way, you know, depends.
Well, I think at first it doesn't. It gets rid of it at first, but then afterwards, you that horrible, you know, tight feeling of, you know, worry, and just generally just not feeling quite right. Kingsley Amis always said there are two hangovers: the physical hangover and the metaphysical hangover. And the metaphysical hangover was worse.
Yeah, definitely. It's true. Wondering what you said the night before.
But it isn't even that. It's just that. I mean, I don't mean that much drinking. It's just it does something to me. But I think maybe it's an age thing too. After a certain age, you don't.
Well, the hangovers get worse. No, as well.
You don't deal with wine as well. You have. You know what it is? It's being out of practice. So. I went into training a bit because I went to Italy for 3 days, and so the 2 weeks before that I started having a glass of wine a bit each week to go to training to get myself used to it.
I love that. This is actually quite selfish of me. I've got my best mate's hen coming up, and I've decided we've got this beautiful house in Camber Sands that it's like this Scandinavian, like beautiful. We've basically put all the fucking budget in the house, which means that I'm kind of stumped with maybe trying to be quite genius about what brunch we're going to do.
Yes.
What would be your best go-to brunch thing for 12 people that's kind of feels like I can feel like I'm slightly effortless? I was thinking kedgeree.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing.
It's quite good.
It is if you've got big enough pots. I've got quite an easy recipe too that I do quite a bit in the oven. I call it my Asian flavoured one. And made with salmon. It's not traditional.
No,
and
that's
it's got
fine.
Lime and coriander and that sort of
thing. So it doesn't have smoked haddock in it?
No, it's not at all like that. But kedgeree is great. Or you can do one of those things, I think they call them strata in American. I've got a croque monsieur bake, which is so really you're doing like a savoury bread and butter pudding.
I've got
brown bread, plastic brown bread, they're thin,
sliced, not fancy.
You could use any.
Okay,
and I make cheese and ham sandwiches. I think it's Gruyere and ham with some Dijon mustard, and then you beat eggs, and you can put that in the fridge the night before, and you put eggs and milk in it, and then you let it soak in, and then you just put it in the oven in the morning.
That sounds good.
Like eggy bread.
Well, it is, but it's like a pudding. It's in a dish. It's in a casserole.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what would be quite nice? To do like a Chinese congee, you know, if you had a slow cooker.
Oh, what, like the rice kind
Yes,
of
that
porridge.
Ricey soup with chicken stock, but not everyone likes that.
I know, I feel like that could be a bit like Marmite.
I'd quite like rice pudding and jam, wouldn't you?
In the morning?
I wouldn't mind. Actually, do you know the funny thing is, breakfast is the only time I actually have to make myself eat rather than...
Oh, really?
And so because of that, I have the same thing every day, more or less.
And what is it? Porridge.
No, I don't. I don't understand. Porridge just makes me starving. You know how everyone says it fills
me
you up?
Me too.
It makes me completely starving.
Me too.
I mean, I love it. Porridge with golden syrup.
And they
delicious.
Say it's got this slow-release energy. No, I'm still waiting for it.
For me, not at all. No, I have poached egg on toast.
We do too.
Do you add Marmite?
I don't. I sometimes do, but, you know, I'm a traitor to my people because I like Vegemite.
Oh, you get out.
How?
I'm sorry.
How can you?
Because Marmite isn't what it used to be.
What?
Does it change? Yes, I do. I feel it lacks the bass note now. It's all squeaky and high.
Well, although, where's the bass note in Vegemite?
I don't know, because it's matte rather than shiny. It's a bit more bass note-y. But I do... there was one that Marmite, they brought out some time ago that was XO or XS or something like that. And that was delicious. And it tasted more like
meaty.
It tasted more that strong, rich flavour.
Oh, God. I didn't even know about the
XL
Marmite.
I still love
one.
Marmite.
Yeah. Anyway, so you absolutely has to be done.
Poached egg. So you have poached egg on toast.
Yes, I do. I used to have boiled egg on toast, but since I taught myself how to poach an egg, very late in the day.
Tell us how you do yours.
Okay.
Well, if I'm doing it for fancy, people coming, I first crack the egg over a tea strainer into a cup to get rid of, because a French chef told me this, is that the point about eggs is that the older they are, if they're not really fresh, the older they are, the white turns watery, and that's what makes all the strands.
Okay.
But what I do when it's just me at home, or, you know, the kids, I crack the egg into a little cup,
yeah,
and I pour lemon juice or vinegar just on the white and leave it there while the water heats up and everything. And then when I, so I don't get the water boiling, it's just nearly bubbling, very, very low. And then I tip the egg in and I leave the watery bit that stayed in the bottom of the cup in the cups.
Oh, okay.
And then so it's more, it's a bit more solid. As I say, I strain it if I want it perfect. And everything.
And then I leave it
on very low. Sometimes if it's only got one egg, you can turn it off and leave it for 3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Just in the turned off water.
Yeah.
But if there's any more than one egg, I think you have to have it very low. But I have it so low that I often forget to turn it off altogether. Anyway, so I leave that in and I take it out with a slotted spoon, pat it on a bit of a kitchen towel, and then I put it on my toast.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Is the food ready? Do I need to turn on the celeriac?
Mum wanted to drizzle the truffle oil in front of you.
Okay, celeriacs. How did you do the celeriac?
I just boiled it and put lots
I find peeling celeriac and cutting it so hard. It's so difficult. Have you ever tried Yotam's whole baked celeriac? It's about 3 hours. I haven't, but I keep meaning to. Because I find it impossible to peel and cut.
We've done rack of lamb with a pistachio crust, and it's just sitting there, so I'm going to cut it.
So what was the kind of most memorable dish from your childhood that your mum used to make?
Well, do you know what? I really, really hated meals as a child. And whenever people come to me and they say, oh, my child doesn't eat, I will say, I did later, but I never did as a child. I didn't like it at all.
You didn't like the sitting down?
Because I didn't like... I don't remember enjoying the eating either. But I was brought up in a very strict way. So you were given your food and you had to stay at the table until you finished it. And if you didn't finish it, the plate was given to you cold at the next meal. And that was actually old-fashioned even when I was a child. And so I didn't like that. But I like quite strange things as well. I loved spinach. Which I still do. I adored spinach. A lot of spinach with butter. My idea.
So that was what you were having when you were young.
When I went to my grandmother's. Okay. So and she would, let me have what I wanted. So if I wanted a big bowl of spinach, I could have that. And I used to go to Panzer's with her. She lived in Cavendish Avenue. And I used to go to Pansy. You know Pansy's?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Where's Pansy's?
And it's Circus Road.
Circus Road near St John's Wood.
Well, yeah. And so I'd go there and we'd buy things and we'd go to the butcher and we'd go home and make something. And I ate weird things I like brains and brown butter. I was very, very young. I didn't realise it was actually brains from an animal. I just thought it was something
brains.
Called brains. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Do you still like brains and
I do.
Butter?
I do. I had something in Greece called kokoretsi.
Kokoretsi is fabulous.
Oh, God,
it's like awful.
It is all awful in a roll. And then the intestine... on the outside, like almost like intestinal crackling on the outside. It's so delicious.
If you were going for bring a dish to a friend's party.
Oh my God,
would this stress
nervous.
You out?
It would actually, because I feel like I was being judged.
But you probably, people expect something of you now, right?
Baked pasta, I think, is quite a good thing.
Baked pasta?
oyster. Okay, so come on, tell me, like, just that. Like a tray bake.
Well, yes, but I mean, I might do a bake. I do one with mushrooms. I do a kind of like a bechamel and lots of mushrooms and stir them all in together. But I do one too. I suppose one of the things I do remember from when I was a child that my mother used to cook was leeks and white sauce. Oh, yeah. And I cook it in the same way. So I do it slightly different. So she would cook the leeks in water, cut them into, you know, short logs, cook the leeks in water, and then mix that water with the milk to make the bechamel. I put vermouth, dry white vermouth, because I don't drink enough wine to have open bottles of wine.
Could
do wine that. So I put a bit of, you know, I don't mean like the best, you know, a bit of martini, Bianco, and in with the water, not that much for the leeks, and I use that to make the sauce. And I use, and sometimes my daughter calls it pie insides, because when I used to make pies, I used to put that in.
Yeah, lovely.
But sometimes I make that into a pasta bake.
Oh, that sounds
cheese,
nice.
With cheese, and it's just leeks and cheese.
I could do that. Well, we're having the manicures on the Saturday.
Do you think
you're
ready to eat?
Yes, I'm starving.
Yeah. Okay, always fine. Ready.
Yeah. Are you in kind of mad working mode at the moment, promoting?
Because well,
How to Eat has been republic. I mean,
I don't know. There's a reissued.
There's
a sort of 20th...
Anniversary.
So I'm doing a bit of that.
You've got a book tour.
I'm going. I'm looking forward to that. I like
do you
doing
want to
this.
Cut your it's rack of lamb.
Lovely. So, fantastic.
From Wonderful Ginger Pig. Do you have?
Yes, I know this is.
So how many would you like?
That's unfair to
and
ask.
And would you like?
No, just
well,
like
four.
Yeah, I could,
that's
yes.
how much I would eat.
Three
and
or four.
And do you want me to cut them through, or will you cut them through?
Will you cut them, please?
Okay.
Unless that's a nuisance.
I just didn't want you to.
Mum is being really different to how she usually presents.
I'm trying to be polite.
No, I know it doesn't suit you. But you've got a book tour.
Yeah, so it's which I'm liking. Well, it's a sort of a book tour, but it's not really going to be just about how to eat. I'm going to various theatres.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it, because what's really nice, I've got such wonderful people interviewing me.
Yeah.
And also, so the second half, you know, it's the first half is sort of talking, so it's, you know, in a way, as you know, when you interview people, it's where the questions go and it's a conversation. But then what I really like is the second half is questions from the audience, and that's always interesting, because I, you know,
you never know what
you never
get.
Know but I never know when someone's interviewing me. I don't ever want to be told beforehand what, you know, you've got to answer in that moment.
It's actually really it's
because otherwise you start, you know, trying to think, oh, what would be my answer, you know.
But also to difficult. Have different interviews. I mean, I've never done a book tour, so I don't know how it is. But, I mean, it's just, and to choose such brilliant people Dolly, and who else have you got interviewing you?
I've got Diana Henry. I've got Charlotte Mendelssohn, the novelist. I've got,
did you choose these? Were you like, I quite like these
Yes,
people.
I was. I wanted people from different, you know, of different ages, different... who've written different sort of books, but people who are interested in food or writing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yes,
please, Mum.
That pink lamb is just
Mum,
perfect.
That is cooked to perfection.
That is
Michelle
so good.
Michelle Jr. would be very impressed, Mum. Mum, this is great. Oh, my God, that's great.
But the lamb
that's
is
so
perfect.
It is. It's just perfect.
We ask everybody.
Yes. Far away.
Last Supper.
You see, that's such a difficult one.
Okay, Desert because, Island
no,
Supper.
No. I'll tell you why. Because I feel there are so many things. I feel making choices and leaving things out is going
to
be so difficult.
Okay,
So first, I would have either guacamole, but the one I do without any tomatoes and not with red onions, but just spring onions, green chilies, lime, salt, coriander, avocado, or rocamole, which I do, which is blue cheese and guacamole mixed.
Mm.
So it's got spring onion, sour cream, blue cheese.
Nigeria,
and I won't have. I have one, and I think maybe I'd have the rocamole.
Go out with a bag.
And I'd have some incredible bread and butter. And bread and olive oil,
what kind
every
of,
sort.
What kind of incredible bread?
I think
bread?
I would have incredibly good French bread or English white loaf with butter, and I'd have some extraordinary sourdough.
Okay.
With I had some incredible sourdough from the Dusty Knuckle.
They're my friends.
Are they? Yeah. And funny enough.
Oh my God, Becca's going to be so happy.
And my God, it was so good. I had their potato sourdough.
They're phenomenal.
Oh my God, it was so good. So I'd have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I would have linguine with clams, you know, with garlic, parsley, and a bit of chilli. No tomatoes anywhere. White
wine. Oh, no tomatoes.
No, absolutely. I forbid the tomatoes. and then, you see, it's difficult because you do get quite full up. So I would want a proper roast chicken dinner. But I would also
I love that was a primi. A primi.
Oh, yes, more. Also, you know, it's your last dinner. You're going to have dinner. But I would also like, you know, a proper steak and chips with béarnaise sauce as well.
I think that could be a mine.
And I would like a fennel and lemon salad with or without maybe some very thinly shaved bits of pecorino. Mm. Very thinly cut raw fennel, lemon juice cleansing. I'd have peas. I do frozen peas, which I cook, you know, for a very long time, so they go grey and they're so delicious.
Why? Because they just cook them with?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I just do a bit of vermouth and mustard, or sometimes I just do a bit of oil and butter and...
So they kind of look like those miserable peas that you get in the...
They look like the French bottled ones. No, because they're small, because they're petit pois. They look like the French bottled ones. So I might have to have those too, but certainly... And then I think I would have some gorgonzola.
Yeah.
And then either like blackberries and cream or lemon meringue tart.
Well, hopefully you're going to like the pudding then.
Yeah. Which Alex made. It's a blackberry and custard tart.
Fantastic.
Yeah. With your recipe for the pastry.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he did it.
Nice.
Well, that's actually the first time that we've done kind of a cook. And it's not meant to be sycophantic. It was just Alex is obsessed with this.
Because we just received your book.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I think that crust was very good, wasn't
Everything
it?
Was
it
very
was
good.
Pistachio and mint.
I love mint. So underused.
Yeah.
Do you think you have good table manners?
Well,
I think you do.
I think that people shouldn't judge.
I don't know, but you see, everyone, I think, as in the rest of life, what manners really are is being considerate to other people. See, my mother brought, even though they were old-fashioned and strict in some ways, had these rather, she was quite quirky as well. So she used to say, don't ask stretch. Because, you know, when you were little, you were told...
Oh, really?
She said it's very rude to interrupt people's conversation. So if people are talking, don't say, excuse me, can you pass potatoes? Just get them.
Oh, no, you see, with the other way... I know, but the other way around.
No, quite. Everyone was brought
not
up the other way
around. Not the boarding house reach.
Yes, but everyone was brought up the other way around, but she said that. But I think that... Really, manners are about being considerate to other people.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it is difficult. There are certain people who you really need not to be looking at when they eat, and that's not pleasant.
Oh, I agree.
I think probably a lot of them are in my family. But I don't think that... I mean, I think when you see people sitting around a table and they're not being together, that's quite a sad thing. I think... So I have certain rules I don't like, which I know that I don't like cross-contamination. So I can't bear it if I see someone putting... I have servings.
I'm worried
and
done
I don't this. Like it and if people use their...
Yes.
If people use other spoons. And I don't like it if people put anything... A butter knife is a butter knife. I don't want people to be putting...
I agree.
Jam or crumbs in the butter. I don't like that.
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
But Jesse, I wouldn't tell someone else off. But I wouldn't tell someone else. I realised that was because I was brought up very strictly about that. Mm. And so I have a thing about
it. Why were they so strict, do you think?
I don't know, they were.
But was eating important in your family?
Well, food was.
The food
definitely,
was.
Yes.
And the appreciation of the food.
Well,
and your mother's efforts
to cook. Because in those days... It was considered rather vulgar to talk about food. Whereas at home, you know, other people, you know, it was not considered the done thing. Whereas we are always talking about what we've eaten, what we're going to eat, other things we could be eating as we're eating. But even when, you know, but as I say, as a child, I wasn't so much like that. But as I grew older, like teenage, I did get much more interested in eating. And I think it's because I think it's because I like being in control of it. And I, in a way, I love being cooked for, but I can't imagine what it would be like not knowing what you're going to eat every day.
Mm. But I knew every day what I was going to eat.
No, but what I mean is that some people are cooked for, always.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And they don't mind what they eat.
Do you think that even applies to when people just basically eat out every night? Because then they know what they're going to... I mean...
I don't... Yes.
I couldn't do that. I feel like I need that control too. And I...
It's not just that, but I... Yes, it's just that it panics me. If I'm out and I don't see anything I want to eat, I get a bit panicked.
Oh, my God, me too.
You see, I think often as well with hunger is that I don't always experience hunger... like in my tummy that I need to eat, my mood goes.
Yeah.
And I experience it as panic and despair rather more than actually thinking, oh, I need to eat. And every now and then I think, oh, maybe I need food.
I never forget.
No, I never forget, but I never forget. But sometimes if you're working, you can't. I feel you have to. And when I'm travelling, sometimes I miss food and it's really hard for me. I get a bit hysterical when I'm not fed.
I think we should have dessert.
Oh, yeah, let's have dessert. Sorry, yes.
Jess, you were left in charge of what goes on top.
It's creme fraiche, but it was supposed to be whipped creme fraiche, but okay. We didn't whip it.
We don't need it. We don't need creme fraiche with the custard tart.
You don't think? Sure? I think you need the tartness. I'm going to have it, but...
I'm going to take a picture.
I'm going to take a picture of Nigella taking a picture. I have to say, your pastry is very good, Nigella. Alex's done a very good job. Mum's quiche dish, which is a bit deeper, got broken today.
But Nigella said don't use quiche dishes.
Oh, yes, because ceramic, you say, makes it a soggy bottom.
This is so good, isn't it?
It's good. It's delicious. I like the creme fraiche with it because it gives a little
tartness.
I can
understand tartness. That, but I don't know. Okay, let me try it with as well.
It's very just good pastry recipe. Mm.
But it's
it's very crisp.
It is, isn't it?
Everything I can taste the nutmeg and the custard. So how did, forgive me if you've talked about this so much, but how did you get into starting, because you were a journalist before you became
I wrote about all manner of things. I started off in the literary side, in arts. And arts journalism and then literary, the literary pages. And then I wrote, sort of being a columnist, but I also at the same time did write a restaurant column from quite a young age, but that was once every 2 weeks, but the other stuff I did, you know, more days a week.
But, so you were a restaurant critic?
Mm-hmm.
How did you find that?
Well, that was in the days when there weren't restaurant critics much. They had stopped, and they had been, but then they'd sort of stopped, and I started it again.
That was very clever.
It was only, you know, but in a way, it was quite interesting because I felt that my job was to sort of give an idea of the experience to people. Mm. I mean, I didn't do that way it's done now often when it's a funny turn.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think we've all become a nation of critics, don't you think? Because of MasterChef and Bake Off.
And Twitter.
And social media, because of social media, yeah. And blogging and
talent
so
shows
forth.
And X Factor. Yes. So we're all very critical of things.
And I think that's what makes people nervous of cooking, because they almost feel they're going to be judged.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
How do we reverse that then?
Don't know.
Well, I think you just have to surround yourself by people you like, and then they're not judging.
Would you like coffee or tea?
Tea, maybe, please.
I've got some fresh mint
for
tea.
I'd love
I'm
that.
Very happy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this. We've wanted you to be on this podcast since we thought of it.
Oh, I'm so pleased. It's so nice. I mean, I couldn't feel more at home or happier.
That's
than,
nice.
You know,
good.
Just so great.
But no, this has been bucket list ticked.
Oh, God, I hope I haven't been a disappointment.
Are
that's
you kidding?
That's worse.
You've given me all the ideas for my hen do that I'm cooking for, and you've been amazing.
Darling, it's just as fabulous to listen to her now as it was then. She was a wonderful guest. And do you remember she wrote beautiful thank you cards?
Yeah, she did.
One to Alex in beautiful brown ink.
Mm.
It was such
She's
a privilege
classy.
To have Nigella. Classy.
Well, I'm going to go off and ping Mum Microwave, and you are going to not put a scented candle on whilst you cook.
I'm not.
Big faux pas.
Thank you for listening to Table Manners Second Helpings, and we will see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.